This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode number 20.
Hi, I'm Mikesh from St. Lucia. You're listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. I'm inviting you to visit us in beautiful St. Lucia in the West Indies, because St. Lucia is the best island in the Caribbean.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Well, hi everybody and welcome back to the show. I'll apologise for the quality of this intro in advance, but I've got a good excuse because I'm down in the West Indies this week on the island of St. Lucia in the beautiful Caribbean. Christine and I are attending a wedding and I'm sitting in my hotel room at the moment. In fact, I've turned the air conditioning off because otherwise it'd be roaring in the background. Earlier today, we went diving off the reef, then caught a fish off the back of the boat, beautiful barracuda actually, which the boys cleaned up and put straight onto the barbecue, so it's been a magic day in the sun. I recently recorded this interview with Tim Mumford, a founding partner at Stone Real Estate in Manly, New South Wales, on Sydney's northern beaches. Tim is ranked in the top 5% of agents in Australia, and when you listen to my interview with Tim, you'll see why. But before we get started, I just want to say a big welcome to all new subscribers to the show. This podcast is really starting to gain some serious momentum, and I couldn't possibly have done that without you. When you're a subscriber, new shows will be automatically added to your podcast playlist in iTunes. So if you haven't subscribed as yet, all you need to do is go to topagentsplaybook.com and hit the yellow subscribe on iTunes button at the bottom of the page, or simply go to the iTunes store, search Top Agents Playbook, and click subscribe. Also, I'm loving the questions I'm getting from agents each week. So if you've got something to say, go to topagentsplaybook.com, look for the Ask Ray section in about the middle of the page, and send me your question. I personally respond to each email and I'll do everything within my power to help you. It's only a couple of months now until Recharge 2015 and places are filling. Our venue this year is Jupiter's Casino on the Gold Coast, and they tell us accommodation for our two-day event is starting to fill up as well. To find out more and reserve your place, go to recharge2015.com. I really like the way Tim Mumford does business, and obviously, so do his clients. As you'll hear in a moment, Tim's not afraid to change the game and do the complete opposite to what other agents in his area are doing. But my big takeaway from this interview is the level of personal attention Tim and his team give each client. Tim's journey from being a team of just one to building quality assistants around him also provides some valuable insights into the success of a top agent with big dreams. So it's goodbye from the Caribbean, and let's get into this interview with Tim. Well, hi, everybody. I'd like to welcome Tim Mumford to the show. Tim is a founding partner at Stone Real Estate in Manly, New South Wales. G'day, Tim.
How are you going, Ray?
Very, very well, thanks, mate. How's the market in Manly at the moment? Is it white hot?
Probably the best I think we've seen ever. Like a huge amount of growth in a short period of time. So, you know, in 18 months, it's come up 23%, which is kind of on average.
Wow.
Astounding. But
that's frightening.
You know, we're finding just a huge lack of available property, which is probably driving a bit more of the competition too.
Yeah, that's crazy. Is that like indicative of Sydney at the moment, or is it Manly in particular?
I definitely think so. I think, I'd probably put that within a certain distance outside of the CBD, certain suburbs, but I think Sydney as a whole, most people will be looking at as probably the hottest market in Australia at the moment.
For sure. Wow. Well, it's such an exciting thing to be part of. Well, we are recording this in right at the start of June, 2015. So let's hope that market holds. If you're listening to this in the future and it's a different story, then you will have heard it here first. How things grew like crazy. Tim, can we just rewind for a little bit? When did you get into real estate? Tell me about your backstory. How you got into real estate?
All right. So father. started in actually catering, and then went to coffee plantations, and sort of after that point went, there's a lot of money going into to businesses and not as much out as what he'd hoped. And he got into the business, it's going to be 13, 14 years ago, buying a well-established rent roll in the Manly region, which was here for a long time. Then we're part of a very big franchise group only to recent, and I've been working with my father now. I think it's coming up on the ninth year. It will be at in about September. So
right.
That's my time in real estate, but by all means sort of started putting files away and putting keys in the cabinet back then.
So can you tell me a little bit about your numbers, what kind of numbers you're doing, listings and sales, and if you're interested, can you share commission earned like last 12 months?
So we're just finalising some figures as we've kind of been a bit of a running race till the end, but it looks like we've just sort of finally clicked the million mark for what's been a newly grown team for me, which is exciting. In terms of sales, again, we're just going to calculate that, but on average about 50 a year.
Right.
Average sale price now is probably more around 1.5 to 1.6, which has really jumped up this year, which has been a big one. In terms of listings, I'd probably say if we're selling 8 out of 10 at the moment, we're averaging about 7, 8 a month. But more of recent, we've actually been listing a bit more over the last couple of months, which is
okay.
Good too.
Okay, awesome. So we were talking just before I press record, and going back, I think only a year or so, you were a team of one. It was just Tim. Now there's three. You've got three plus yourself on the team?
Correct, yeah.
Tell me about that transition and how that's helped you and maybe some of the challenges, because I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast are kind of ready to break out. You know, they're kind of micromanaging everything, but they're just on the cusp of wanting to hire an assistant. And can you tell me how that worked for you?
Well, look, to put it simply, I had a very bad experience with an assistant that I probably quickly hired, which happened about 12 months ago.
Right.
And they kind of came in and left pretty rapidly because I was still in that place of not being able to let go. So I was really micromanaging her. And to be honest, she just didn't have enough experience. I think, you know, it's always fearful when you're doing well. If you put something else into the mix, is that going to change what's currently happening? I think that's one of the biggest fears, especially as a young agent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've kind of done everything for your clients, everything that you say you do, and you've kind of got this sort of synergy that happens between you and your clients, and you're worried about someone else allowing them into your business and wrecking that.
Yeah.
For me, and I obviously spoke to a lot of people, and I was just really being held back. I was everyone to everything. So, you know, I was the guy here looking at marketing proofs. I was doing copywriting. I was sending emails at midnight. I was doing photo shoots. I was dropping off contracts. And, you know, whilst I had control, the problem was I was doing all of this stuff, which at the end of the day really wasn't helping me get my next listings. And it almost got to breaking point. I had a really good 6 months at the end of last year. And I remember my sales manager coming over to me and going, mate, something's going to give here. It's going to be your health. I recently got married last October, which was really exciting.
Yeah.
But something was going to go. So basically, you know, I had to make some changes. You know, I just couldn't keep living like that. I was literally working from the moment I opened my eyes at 6 o'clock until midnight, which,
right.
You know, it's just not sustainable. You can do it as a young bloke, but yeah. I don't think it's going to happen in the next 10 years. I'm going to be able to keep doing that. So.
Well, hey, you are young. And yeah. I guess, you know what, there's a lot of great men and women sub 30 who are doing very well in real estate, and you're obviously one of them. Do you find that your age, do you have any issues with that, like even perhaps when you were a bit younger?
When I was younger, definitely. Like I started, what are we now? I've been in sales 4-ish years. It could maybe be a little bit longer.
Right.
And I say this carefully, but I look pretty young. Do you know what I mean? So I think some people thought it was their son sort of knocking on the door as he just walked out of high school. And at the start, to be honest, it was a bit of an issue. But I think the main thing is it just takes a little bit of time and experience to actually understand what you're doing, to make a few mistakes, to get to the place of really knowing what to say to people. And I'm so glad that I did it and I started young. I think, you know, it's nothing to do about how you look and your age and all of that kind of stuff. But once you get a little bit of knowledge together and a bit of that experience, by the time I was 25, that 26, that hasn't been an issue at all. So people actually like a bit of young energy, I think, a bit of a change. So
Of course. And I think with experience comes confidence as well. And people pick up on that. They can sense that you're the person, you know, you're a man of action and you're going to get in and do it, as opposed to somebody who's a bit tentative and holding back, and people can almost smell the fear, I think.
I think you're 100% right. I think, look, and as, again, it is a balance, you know. One change that I've made probably in the last 3 months and with the evolution of my team is I'm not available all the time. I thought a couple of years ago, and don't get me wrong, you may need to be this person if you're starting out and you're in your early 20s, you know, the guy that is literally there all the time. But the evolution over the last couple of years, and definitely even the last 6 months for me, is I'm available at the times when people want me.
Yeah.
And I'm 100% present.
Yeah.
And we give it 130%. But I'm not available to everyone at every time. And I think once you build a little bit of that confidence and you evolve a team around you, and a lot of things are sort of happening in the background,
yep,
people kind of respect that. And that's sort of where it gets to a point of not being a young guy that's, you know, willing to go and sort of, you know, dust off their letterbox for them before the open house. But when they do have me, they've got me 130%.
Yeah,
and,
gotcha.
You know, that's what's seen the evolution of me breaking into a lot more of the premium end of the market too.
Yeah. Tim, can you tell me about your team? Who are they and what do they do?
So I've got Imogen. So she would be basically...
Imogen's awesome. She was very helpful and very prompt setting this up. So
she is fantastic. I'd probably say she's more of the boss of the team, to be honest with you. But
good.
She's incredible. I took a long time to hire, interviewed a lot of people. I think we did 20 people. Mark, my sales manager, was going, mate, I think you're looking for the impossible, but we found her. Came out of a media background, worked for Channel 10 with Ray Hadley, comfortable in front of people, fantastic. And she's almost like a buyer's agent with me. So she's basically in this market, you know, we're meeting sometimes 300 people a weekend. She makes every one of those people feel like we've only met one or two. So that's her role, is to keep that up and running. Obviously deals a lot with, you know, coming out to some potential listing presentations and organising photo shoots and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And then I've got Marilyn, who's a little bit older. So she's a mum, two kids, very level. So me and Imogen are pretty go-go people. Marilyn's sort of like the footings of the team in some respects. So she's on part-time. She's in the office 100%, doesn't do any appointments outside, and she's just primarily admin-based but highly efficient. She's been in the business well over 10 years, so
okay.
She's very good.
Okay. Excellent. And when you list a property or when you get the heads up that you're going to go to a listing presentation, can you tell me a little bit about your procedure around that? Do you send a pre-listing kit? Tell me how it works.
We do. I think you've got to be very careful. One of the things, you know, I've changed my entire listing in the last year, and especially moving from a big franchise group, to be less about what we think, what they want, because I think we're constantly ramming photos of ourselves and sales and the rest of it down people's throats before we even get there, you know. See some agents and, God, there's more photos going out to the person that's probably in their house before
yeah.
they even get there. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I think that's a little bit overused. For us, it's about defining what's important to them. And I really try and do that before I get there.
Right.
So, yes, I have a pre-list go and it's more based around client stuff. So it's experiences, so what people thought, testimonials, the rest of it.
Yeah.
But I've got clearly defined kits for certain demographics or people. And generally, if you identify, there's always a few key things for someone. There's either, you know, we're worried about spending a lot on marketing and fees. We're worried about what the hassles are going to be of selling. Oh, God, getting the house ready, you know, presenting it. God, we've got two kids at home over the school holidays. We're worried about not being able to find anything.
Yes.
So selling, and then especially in this market right now, this is our biggest one. We're worried about selling and then not being able to buy and the market going up,
yeah.
which is happening. So I think it's really getting to the basis of what you're identifying, and then it's the customer too. Are you dealing with someone that, you know, has been a builder his whole life and he's in his 60s and he's worked on building sites? You know, me sending out photos of selling $4 to $5 million properties is probably not appropriate.
No.
Am I dealing with, which I have done as well, a CEO of a banking industry or, you know, a guy that's working in financial markets? What might go to him is very different. So I think we're moving away from here's just 30 photos of myself and everything I've sold. You've really got to start getting a little bit smarter with pre-list kits. Otherwise, don't send one at all,
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I'm just feeling at the moment that the consumer's going, you're not getting me.
Yeah.
And if six of these kits turn up on their door, like, can you imagine? You're not going to spend 3 hours of your life you know, sort of running through all of that. So that's probably where we've evolved. And yes, we've kind of got set kits for different people, but my job is to identify which category those guys are really fitting into before we send anything.
That's interesting. In just thinking that through, probably what you're saying is the more you know about your potential client, the better you can pre-list, and I guess the better chance you've got to actually engage them before you even knock on the front door.
100%. You know, I think that's probably, if there were young agents listening to this and I was to give one tip of advice, I can't even remember who said it to me, but it's one of the things that just stuck with me. And it's about actually learning just to ask questions and to stop talking.
Yeah.
I think I was so eager to prove that I knew everything and I'd read books and I'd been to every ARIC conference and I'd spoken to everything and I've researched the whole street, and you kind of go in with, or you're on the phone giving someone a little bit of what I classify as verbal diarrhea.
Yeah.
At the end of that, there's just this element where they don't see there's any congruency and they go, he just wasn't getting me.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of what I'm doing now is really more question-based, and effectively the presentation or the pre-list or the initial meeting really will go to the flow of what's important to them.
Okay, so before you go there or before you send anything, you almost have like just a quick Q&A session over the phone?
100%.
Righto.
100%. On everything, and that goes back through to when I get there. And I think the thing is to actually, a great way to do it is to get pen and paper and actually write it down. I got to this place where I was doing it and they were going, great, he's really getting me. And then I'd turn up and I was having a really different conversation. That was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Now, take the same piece of paper and I go, look, I just wanted to run over the stuff we talked about on the phone because that's what I felt that was the most important to you. Does that sound all right? I just run through it. And you may actually feel, God, this is kind of pretty basic stuff. But effectively, what you're doing is identifying what they really care about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How good your photographer is or how nice your brochure is like, somewhat irrelevant if their mum's sick and they're selling because they've got to move into a house with them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Or they're having World War III with the neighbours over the back fence, and all they want to talk about is not putting a sign up or something, and you're rambling on about your internet marketing or something. So it's just a huge disconnect. Right. Let me ask you then, how do you leverage technology to help you inside your business? Tell me some of the things that you're doing at the moment. I know you're a locked-on user. And you've been one for quite some time, so that's obviously part of what you do. But can you give me a bit more info about how you leverage technology?
Yeah, see, that's and again, I come back to that young agent thing because that's the category I fit into. And I'll put it in place to what I classify as the more high-end market. I went into this going, my dream is to sell beautiful high-end homes and apartments. That was always my goal. And I thought, you know, I am that young guy. You know, what am I going to be when I go in there that's this point of difference? And the one thing I looked at a lot of my competitors and people out there and I went, half of them barely probably know how to turn on an iPad, let alone get on the computer and do stuff. So my point of difference was I'm young, I'm energetic, I know my stuff, but I'm armed with where I believe the future is of real estate is technology.
Yeah.
And one of those is the database. Like one of the biggest things I would urge people to do if you're starting out, if you're at a place and you want to go to the next level, is get your database right. Get the right data in at the start. And, you know, you meet one person, like over a course of 5 or 6 years, if you meet one person at an open house, the likelihood is you're probably going to meet them again. So make sure the information's correct. Make the calls to get the email addresses. Get the right addresses and enter it correctly. I made a lot of mistakes around this originally. And it cost me and my team now a lot of time to sort of go back in and get that data correct, because from that, everything stems.
Yeah. You're talking about the integrity of your database, the information is correct and up to date.
Correct. Because as you grow, it's very hard when you get to a level and you're busy and you're running out to appointments and doing appraisals. It's actually easier to do it from the start.
Yeah.
You know, if you wind back and you've got to go through incorrect data and names and you didn't enter in the right addresses and, you know, there's nothing worse to see a listing come up in your area, which you've been marketing to, simply because you forgot to put them on a trail or, you know, enter them in about what their buying criteria was or send them relevant information.
Yeah.
It's something so simple that if you do it, like a lot of the systems now, look at Locked On or a lot of the good database systems out there, like once you've got data in, it's really getting to a point of clicking a few boxes.
Yeah.
I think we've just become a little bit arrogant to thinking that, do you know, I mean, people are going to call us if we're selling stuff. But I was listening to another speaker actually recently, and he was saying, you know, we've got to be really careful because there are 21, 22-year-olds out there, you know, with an iMac, a really good database, and they put the time into it that will literally come in and take over a BDA within 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
So technology is a big one. But coming back to you for you from that, if you've got the data correct, Ray, everything evolves from that.
Yeah.
So a great example is in my area, I wanted to be very careful. I was getting a bit of feedback over about a year ago about someone that had a penthouse apartment, felt it was inappropriate, and I say this in a kind way, to be receiving information about semis or freestanding houses. They said, well, that's not really relevant to me.
Yeah.
So it's smart marketing now. I think you got to go away from the bulk mass mail out to everyone. And if you do smart marketing, so I segregate everyone that's got penthouse apartments and they get information about penthouse apartments. So for them, they go, Tim gets me. It's relevant. I'm not informing them about mass market, what's happening everywhere. You know, and I think consumers feel it. You know, if I get those emails and it's just like a blast of garbage, you kind of delete it pretty quick. So that's where I'm evolving to with the marketing stuff, if that makes a bit of sense.
Yeah, it does. So the more specialised that you get, both with the client and their property, the greater your chances of success, I guess, because they will understand that you're talking to them.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, it makes you leading from that with the technology and all of that stuff, it makes the whole thing congruent.
Yep.
You know, when you're sitting in a listing presentation, you can simply talk about that. You know, this is the way I work as a business. I understand that buyers looking for penthouse apartments, they've got a relationship with me and they want to work with me because I send them information on penthouse apartments.
Yeah.
If someone's looking for a harbourside in Manly versus beachside, I'd never, for example, call a beachside buyer and walk them around south-facing properties when the wife has said to me 3 times over, we want to be on the beachside, Tim.
Yeah.
So I think you just got to get a little bit smarter with consumers, and the technology's there to help you if you put your time into it.
Yeah, interesting. What would you say is your favourite feature with Locked On? Is there something, some feature that of the system that you like using that helps you?
I think it's pretty. It's an easy one to use. That's for me. Do you know what I mean? I'm a bit of a big buttons clicking kind of guy.
Yeah.
I'm borderline a bit ADD, Imogen says, but I probably think I am. But yeah, it's just simple functionality, and I think that's one of the biggest things. You know, don't overcomplicate, segregate your data, and just make it simple and easy to use. I think that was one of the things when I looked at that, which I thought, okay, if I had, for example, someone entering in my team, and I'd probably say I'm pretty savvy with computers, but do you know that the perfect buyer's agent that's never really used computers before, is that going to be functionable? So you've really got to evaluate databases if you want to grow your team. If I've got a lady that's in her 50s and she's unbelievable at doing all of my paperwork, can she utilise that system? And, you know, that's the only thing you've got to be cautious of, I'd say, going forward as well.
Do you, can I ask you how many contacts you have in Locked On?
I think at the moment we're about 480-ish, but
okay.
Then I've got a separate system which I run on my buyers in.
Gotcha.
I deleted it probably, I'd say. I've cut it down to a fifth, right?
Okay.
So in Locked On, what I deal with primarily is I want to deal with people that want to do business with me.
Okay.
And that's where the place of my prospecting starts.
Okay.
I think before what I had was this huge amount of people. I think it's grow all your contacts, have 3,000 people. And, you know, I listened to Marcus Ciminella, who's down at Marshall White, who I think is an amazing operator. And he said once he really quite cleared up his database, got defined on the people that wanted to do business with him, and obviously he didn't delete all the other contacts, but, you know, really focused hard on, like, I think he went from about 5,000 to 1,000, but for me, I went from, I think it was about 2,000-ish to what I said a minute ago, a little bit less than that.
Yeah.
I spent a lot more energy on the right people.
Okay.
So I think you just got to be cautious, you know, about it's not just simply you bump into a person in the street, chuck them all in the database. You just got to be careful that you're going to manage it and run it effectively with people that want to work with you.
Okay.
I think. And then maybe run something separate for some of the other clients.
And, Tim, what contact methods do you use with contacts on your database?
Yeah, so for me, primarily now, you know, again, this is the evolution of a team, is I don't have to do everything anymore, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So for me, my business runs around. I'm the call guy. So I do all of my calls. We easily define the people that I need to ring. I'm pipeline focused, appointment focused. That's kind of where I see it.
Yeah.
But then I've got behind the team that heads up a lot of the marketing stuff. So, you know, and again, what we've really done is try and categorize people into what's important to them. So our marketing's evolved a little bit. So, and you just got to be conscious of that. There's no point sending little Mrs. Smith, who's living down in the property she's owned for 50 years, 17 emails.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to just be careful on the consumer. And I think that's one of the things I've learned too. Like, one of my questions simply to people is, what's the best way to communicate with them?
That's a good idea.
Is it by text? Is it by email? What works for you? Because I've got some clients that find it, you know, they're, I'd say, pretty heavy in finance industries, and the thought of me ringing them to just give them an update is frustrating, but yeah. They love text.
Yeah.
Because they can review it, they can respond, they can be in a meeting. So I think you just got to be cautious on that, you know, about, well, think about the consumer and how they want to be dealt with. But ask the question. People will answer it for you all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the questions I wrote down that I always love to ask is, what's your biggest challenge right now?
Myself? No. One of the biggest challenges is, I think now it's, you know, we've gone from two to now three, and it's even letting go a little bit more. So I think letting go is probably one of the biggest things to growing. So for me, it's not commissions, it's not competing on listings. But it's clearly defining, if I was going to do 10 things in a day that are dollar productive and leave the rest to my team, what is that?
Yeah.
And that's all I do. You know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to photographs and all of that kind of stuff, but I've really let go of that now. You know, I don't even want to really see the marketing. I leave it completely up to the girls.
Yeah.
And I'm still struggling on that, but even the last couple of months since I've been working on that very heavily, the business has just really cranked.
Okay, because you're spending more of your time in the dollar productive areas.
100%. Yeah, okay. Pretty much my entire business now is I'm on the phone or I'm meeting with people. That's pretty much about it.
It's such a simple thing to understand, and you can see the power in it when you explain it like that. But I think it's probably one of the biggest challenges that a growing, you know, somebody who's improving and getting better and better. But just this whole, like you made the comment about letting go and how that changed, it just seems to be such a huge thing. And I speak to so many real estate people who are, you know, paralyzed at the thought of letting go and just don't trust anybody. You know, nobody's going to do it as well as I can. And I call it superhero syndrome. You know, it's just, yeah. I can do everything. I mean, you've tried that.
And, yeah, I have.
And now you've got a team.
The thing is understanding what's important to the consumer. And my thought was, well, if I see it all and I do it all, and I check the contract and I do this and I look at the photos and I turn up at the photo shoot and I race on the contract, I know it's right.
Yeah.
But would my time for the consumer been spent more effectively ringing 100 buyers for their property or negotiating with three other offers or showing their house again? Or do you know what I mean? So that's really where my expertise works. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The girls are highly detailed. I'm not even detailed, so I don't even know why I wanted to do it. I'm terrible at, you know, detail, but you know, the girls are fantastic, and it is that point of letting go and really defining to the consumer why that's important. You know, I still go up against agents that say, well, I'll be the one here doing the photo shoot, and, you know, Tim, you know, he doesn't even turn up at his photo shoots. And I go, I can just sit down and go, how much time in a day do you think if we were to get your property prepared in a day, would that agent spend? Got to get the contract over, they do it, and they go, oh, yeah, a lot. And I go, then what happens on a Monday? And they get back to the office and more ads. And out of if you had 100%, how much of that 100% is spent on dealing with purchases,
yeah,
showing your property, and negotiating, which are the three most important things I'd probably say. And they go, well, I don't know. And I literally map out the hours that realistically someone has.
Yeah.
And when you really get down to it, the reason I did that was to understand why it was so important.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm here reviewing the copywriting, really, like, and I haven't rang anyone for 2 days on their property, that's not really what's important to them as a seller. By all means, it still should be happening, but for my time, if that makes a bit of sense, right?
Yeah, well, I guess your inner radar tells you now when you're doing something that you probably shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, correct. And you get to that point. You know, most people even listening would go, you have that day. And I used to have the time when I'd just have to put the top of my laptop down because if an email came up, I'd just read it and you'd start off on the next tangent. But actually just putting it down, and if you're present for 2 hours, great prospecting, good calls, ringing clients, booking appointments, that's so much more important than a lot of the other stuff, which by all means, if you're on your own, do it after 12. Do it in the afternoon. Yeah. But don't let that become you as an agent. It's very hard to grow.
Do you have a prospecting discipline where you're on the phone 5 days a week?
Yeah, I'm pretty strict. I'd say 4 days a week.
Right.
I'm trying to find a little bit more of a balance now. I'm actually, it's great because I'm having time off but doing more business, which is really cool.
Yeah, terrific.
But I think, yeah, prospecting for me is a morning thing. Some people say, well, clients don't, they're not on the phone in the morning and I like to ring them at night. For me, it's an energy thing. And, you know, a lot of young guys and even better agents that are doing really big numbers have said it's about your energy. So if you're ringing people sort of in the afternoon because you think they're going to answer the phone and it sounds like you're half asleep, well, that's not really helping. So the morning for me, and the girls know, unless a house is on fire that we've listed or someone's walking to tear up an agency agreement, nothing distracts me. It's prospecting time.
Yeah.
And that could start for me from 8 o'clock on the mobile.
Okay.
You know, I've got some clients that like to run the beachfront and that kind of stuff, and you know, they're happy to chat to me in the morning. And it carry through to about 11, so it's pretty much prospecting, and that's the same for Imogen too. And then after that is appointments and other stuff. So, yeah, I think you just got to try and do it in the morning. Personally, that's my thoughts.
Okay. Well, it's obviously working for you. And by the way, the top agents I speak to all pretty much say the same thing. And anybody listening to this who wants to improve their figures, just keep your prospecting, your warm calls, get it, allocate some time just as Tim does and make sure you do it each day or at least 4 days a week.
One thing on that, Ray, which I would say, and it was interesting how you said the word plan, that is one thing we've implemented. And the reason I was speaking with another gentleman, and he said, people like to list with people they can bank on.
Okay.
And I went, what does that mean? And I went, imagine if you rang someone every Thursday between 10 and 11 about new listings that have come onto the market. So it's a seller. When we buy, we're going to sell our house. But between 10 and 11 every Thursday. Not you rang them on a Tuesday and you let them know about a listing that you've got coming up. And then next week you rang them on a Thursday and the next one you rang them on a Saturday. Every Thursday. So we actually define days where it makes sense to ring people. So, yes, we ring buyers on a Saturday and a Monday, but there's not really much point on a Monday ringing your clients that want to buy and then sell because you actually don't know what other inventories hit the market with other agents or even your own agency. It usually comes on a little bit later in the week. So
we
went, well, on a Thursday, it really makes sense that we speak to all of those people and do all of that. But we've started to get this feedback that go, hey, you guys are just like on the ball. Hey, I don't think there's a time outside of 10 and 11 that we haven't got a call from you. When it gets to the point of listing, you can seriously sit there and go, this is how my team works.
Yeah.
You know, people list with us because we've got a system in place. And systems are what produce results. So I think that's one thing. Define what days work around the consumer, not yourself. So don't go, I like ringing buyers on a Monday. I like ringing, you know, people that want to do this on this day. Define it around the consumer. And if you come up with that process and you stick to it, people will go, oh, John Smith rings me like clockwork on this day. God, we should get him to at least chat about his house. He's doing something.
Yeah.
Something good.
Well, you've sent a real message of reliability, I guess.
Yeah. And that's a really big one. I thought, do people going to think I'm a bit of a weirdo? Like, I'm nothing better than ringing every Thursday, but it structures through your whole presentation. So when I talk about my team, it goes from, Mr. Smith, we've been chatting now for 3 months. He goes, I know, every Thursday between 10 and 11, I go, let me describe to you why that happens. And I run into the team and the system and, you know, it flows through it. But, you know, if you're Mr. Here, There and Everywhere, you're not going to kind of look like the guy that's going to be able to look after the $2.5 million house. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is a big thing. And that's, I think, when you get a prospecting plan. Don't design it around yourself as an agent. Design it about what works for the consumer.
Okay. Really interesting point. I mean, so much of this discussion that you and I are having at the moment is really around you tailoring your service to your individual clients and making them feel special, I guess.
Yeah, I just always comes back to me from that point. And it, look, everything I've ever done, whether it's buying a car or anything, it always generally comes down to whether I felt that person got me.
Yes.
Hey, listen. You know, I mean, if you're ringing families at 3 o'clock when they clearly pick their kids up from school, what kind of feedback are you going to get on the phone?
Mm.
Ring them four times when they're standing at the front gate and the mobile's ringing and they go, this guy just doesn't get me. Mm. My kid's school ending time doesn't change, but he rings me at 3 o'clock. When I'm standing out the front, I got a stroller, I got... So you just got to really think about your prospecting and what would work for that client. Generally, I say, and look, a lot of agents might not like me saying this, but I would say ringing someone at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning that's come through a $2.5 million apartment or even a $500,000 apartment, is that the smartest thing if they kind of told you on the weekend they weren't really interested?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're probably on their way to work, they're racing. So I think you just got to think about that a little bit more deeply, that's all.
Okay, okay. Tim, who are your heroes? Who inspires you?
For me, look, I always look towards the guys that I'd say have got great consistency, and that's something I always have aspired to be like. Look, you look at someone like James Tosford, and it's hard to not say that he's a bit of a hero. But to dig a little bit deeper, a lot of the great agents, and I look at James and I look at Michael Clark, who's I actually used to work with and I sat next to, and he's gone out of his own to have Clark and Hummel and doing fantastic stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys have just done small things consistently for a really long time and become extremely bankable.
Okay.
And that's, for me, what a hero is. You know, the guy that comes down and sells a $20 million property and woohoo and then goes to Europe for 6 months, I go, okay, well, you're only as good as your last sale. But these guys have just been there for a long time doing the little things at the right times consistently for a really long time. And I think that's the hero side of real estate. You know, there's dark days, you have crap days, you have times where you're feeling sick, but these are the guys that still walk in and go, you know what, I've got kids to feed, I've got this to do, but the most important thing is I want to be bankable and consistent. And I reckon that's one of the things that's lost the most in this business. You know, in this strong market of Sydney, saying that you sold a property in 3 days and, you know, you got a price over the reserve, I think's a little bit crass, you know what I mean? But I really like the consistency of these guys. So, look, I'd put them in the upper echelon of people I'd say are very good.
Let me ask you one final question. I'll let you go, and thank you so much for your time. Somebody listening to this wants to improve their numbers. They might be new. They might be a veteran. They may be in a bit of a slump. What would your advice be if somebody took you out for a cup of coffee and said, Tim, how can I improve? What are the sort of top three things that you talk to them about?
Okay, so one of the things, and I might relate this a little bit back to if you're at a younger age, but it will appear to be for anyone. So you don't need to go in doing the same thing as all your competitors. What we try and do now every day as a team is we go, does that make sense to the consumer or can we do better? And what I mean by that is there's been a lot of processes in real estate for a really long time. We do our photos then, we have our auction there, it's a 4-week process. But I think really, just get a sheet, write out a whole list of questions and just go to an appointment and just ask questions. Don't take photos of yourself, don't take all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And sit there and ask a whole heap of questions. Come back to the office and then tailor your presentation around exactly what's important to them. And your business will really start to evolve. You might even start to discover some things that your competitors are doing that 80% of your core area doesn't really like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for us, it's about going, yes, that's been done like that for 20 years, but do you know what I mean? Things are evolving quickly. You know, the way people want to interact with real estate agents, the way they want to receive information, when they want to see property. A little example of that, I would say, is we had a really lovely apartment that we had down on Manly Beach, and all of my competitors are doing dusk opens. Now, the properties face northeast, which I live down that way, and in the morning, if you're looking over Manly Beach, it's one of the most magic places.
It's a beautiful view.
It is stunning, right? Yeah. The sun comes up, people are exercising and surfing, and predominantly for these apartments, we have a lot of people downsizing, so they come out of the area. And I thought, for me, it just doesn't make sense. I don't know why we show these properties at dusk. I said, you can't see anything. The sea's dark. you know, they feel a little bit colder because you're obviously not getting that afternoon sun.
Yeah.
I said, why don't we do morning opens? And a few of the guys went, yeah, mate, you're kidding yourself. Who's going to want to come there in the morning? I said, just let's give it a shot. And we're talking about a property that's sort of in that high $4 million range. So I really could have gone, you know what I mean? The owner could have gone, mate, you're nuts. Just do it like everyone else is doing. And they went, no, that sounds pretty cool. We put on fresh juices. We had like little health books there about the lifestyle of Manly. And we did it at dawn. So when the sun was coming up. So we're showing it sort of around 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Really? 7 a.m. Wow.
7 a.m. That's cool. 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And
well, that's probably your market, I guess, isn't it? That's indicative of your market.
Do a showing at 6 o'clock at night. So it's just the reverse, right,
yeah,
in some respects. So people came down there, and I couldn't believe how many people we had turn up. Like, you had local sellers walking, and they were running. They were going, these guys have got their signs out. They got fresh juices. Not only did we pick up a phenomenal amount of business, we had three potential buyers, which effectively ended up competing for the property, Seed and Dawn. So standing out the front, dolphins came out of Manly Beach,
oh,
and they're going around.
No way.
And the guy, one of the guys turns around and goes, mate, haven't been another agent doing this. This is unbelievable. And that gentleman ended up being one of the main heads of CBRE. So,
okay,
you know, you just got to look at the process of what you're doing and go, does that really work for the property of my consumer and how I can do better? So that's probably one of the big points.
Wow. Wow, that's it's such a beautiful part of the world, and you're so lucky to live and work there. I think it's just a dream, buddy. Thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to let you go, I want to say thank you. You're just doing great things. Congratulations, and I look forward to learning more about your success. Thanks so much, Tim.
Thanks, Ray. Thank you.
Been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.